Hi, welcome back to another episode of All About Dog. I'm Kathy Stone.
And I'm Julia Elliott.
And today we're really, really, really pleased and honored to have a friend of mine, Terry Hansen, who's our expert on dog training. Yes, we did a podcast not too long ago about training, but it was very high level. It was why you should do the training. Terry's here to help us figure out how to do the training, which is obviously the next step in your life, is it not, Julia, with your new dog?
Yes. And as all of you got from the last podcast, I need all the help I can get. So I'm excited. Terry, thank you for joining us today too. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. You know, we get into these, Kathy and I were talking about earlier, we get into these and there's so many things that we don't even think about in terms of training or how to train or when to train or what to train. So our listeners know too, this is my journey to find another dog. So my current dogs, I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't need help. They probably could all use a little bit of help. So I'm really looking forward to this, Terry. So thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Terry, if you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into good dog coaching and how long you've done it, stuff like that.
Sure. So I always like to say it all started with a dog. And if you could see, that dog is on the floor behind me here, actually. So the short story is I went to volunteer and came home with a dog.
That never happens. I'm just here to say.
Yep, I love it.
I am a poor example in that point of practicing what I preach, because I always tell clients, when people do call me before they ever get a dog, which is rare, but I totally think that's the best thing to do, is, really think about it before you go looking for a dog. Think about your lifestyle and, energy level and all of that in terms of choosing a dog and what might be right for you. But that is not what I did. So literally, if you want to know the whole story, you can go on our website and it's on there. But basically, that's it. I went to volunteer and came home with a dog. And at the time, owned a business with my husband, and one of our clients was a dog trainer. And so I called her immediately and said, I don't know what I was thinking, but I adopted a puppy, and not to mention it's a pit bull. And that was 13 years ago. And, so back then, especially, pit bulls were like, ooh, scary to a lot of people, So I just said, I don't know what I'm doing and I need help. And so she's actually who encouraged me to become a dog trainer. I just started working, training together with her, and she just kind of kept saying, you're really good at this, you should do this. And so I always say she kept pecking away at me until I believed that I could. So that's, and hence the good dog and good dog coaching and pet care, because she is should be a great dog. She's a great dog. And it's been the most wonderful experience, the best thing I have ever done. I'm sure it happened at the right time, because I'd like to say I wish it happened sooner, but I think all things happen at the right time and for the right reason.
Absolutely.
And she's been with me through the whole ride, and it's been wonderful. Kathy, we've known each other for years. I love people. I love helping people, and I love dogs too. So it's a great combination for me. And I get to do both. I get to work with dogs and I get to help people and their dogs. And, so I don't know how long I've been doing it for 12 years now, and who knows how much longer I'll be doing it. But, I think I'll always do it in some capacity. Eventually, one day I would like to retire, but, I think I'll always train dogs. So that's kind of how the whole thing started.
Terry, you said a few things there that caught my attention. I know we were talking a little bit before this, and I told you I'm considered a foster fail. He came home with me really quickly. So my questions for you, kind of right off the point, you said some comment that you like to work with people and you like to work with dogs. My two questions that I'm sure will run together in your answer is, why is training the dog so important? But why do you also hear the phrase train the owner, not just train the dog?
That is a great question. Well, because as I like to say, in terms of training, I can train your dog, but I don't live with your dog. You do. I think it's important to have a well-trained dog, because it's so much better for the person and the dog in general. And training equals freedom for you and for your dog. The better behaved and trained your dog is, the more places it can go and things it can do with you. And I think that's why a lot of people get a dog in the first place, is for that companionship. So when a dog's not very well trained, their world is shrunk down into their house, their yard, and maybe their neighborhood, maybe not even their neighborhood. If they can't, you know, if that person can't walk that dog because it's reactive or whatever, then the dog lives a life of living in a house and a yard, which is very, very small. But I think the major component in dog training is the human, is the owner, because again, dogs can be trained. The question is, actually, it's harder to train the human than the dog. The dog is easier. It's harder to change human habits. There is effort involved in training a dog and maintaining it. It's not just about training it and then you're done. That's another thing I don't think people realize, you know, that it's one and done. No, you know, you have to maintain what you've taught your dog. Otherwise, it's use it or lose it. I always tell folks, I use all the things, tricks aside, but like the basic obedience and things with my dog, I use it every day in some way, shape, or form. And that way she maintains the level of training that we got her to, so that, because, you know, like most people, I don't have people here at my house, but like, you know, like people visiting or whatever at my house every day, that kind of thing, especially with COVID, you know, that's really been cut down. When somebody shows up, or when we have family, or when we have friends, if that's the only time I'm asking my dog to, you know, do the things that I've taught her, that's not going to be very often. And she's not going to be very good at it. And she's also going to not think that I'm in charge, because if I haven't been being in charge all along, you know, leadership, it's unfair and unrealistic, actually. So you have to train it and you have to maintain it. So it's harder for people to do that, I think, than not, I think it's truly harder for people than the dog.
Yeah. Like, well, I think it's like easier for us.
Right? Just like human children. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier for us to say, no, never mind. This is too hard, versus the dog just does what you're trying to teach it. It doesn't, you know, they can say no, but they really can't. You know what I mean? For us, it's easier to say, this isn't working. I'm tired. I just don't want to do it anymore. So that's, I think that's my biggest downfall is, and it's exactly what you just said. The amount of time that you actually have people over to try to correct an issue is a lot smaller than when nobody's there and you're not teaching them that thing anymore. It just, it doesn't make sense. It's in the mindset as an owner to tell yourself that, hey, you've got to stay in that mindset even when somebody's here or not here, is so hard for a human. That's why I asked that question. Cause I truly think we've gotten to that argument before, where are all dogs trainable? Maybe, maybe not. Are all humans trainable? No. That's a definitive no.
But Julia, here's a thought. Okay. Yeah. You know, exactly what you said. There's not a lot of times when you might really, I'll say really need those high level behaviors, but truly, if you train your dog to that point, then living with them, even yourself, is so much easier. Yeah. Like, it's so wonderful. I don't think most people really know how awesome it is living with a very well-trained dog. Like my dog, and this ain't bragging, this is just the truth, zero issues. It is so awesome. I don't know how, there's almost no way to even explain to people how good it can be, because most people, I think, live with what I call GEO, good enough obedience. Good enough for them, right? Wouldn't be for me, but that's okay, you know. But as long as it's not jumping, biting, peeing, and pooping, they're good, you know. But it can be so much more than that, and you know, taking your dog places and really, really fully enjoying that dog, which I think is what people have in mind when they get a dog. That's what they think it's going to be like without effort.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
No, that's all very valid points. I think everybody has the right intentions when adopting an animal. And I think the unfortunate side of things is that that's why a lot of dogs end up getting rehomed or get adopted. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work in that scenario, because the owners don't have the patience to understand that it's a completely different lifestyle from before the dog went to the shelter and then from the shelter to you. You have no idea. Right. The difference. Right. You can't blame the dog. So I think that's, you know, obviously my personal opinion, but I do think that that's a lot of times why some situations from the shelters to homes, or even breeders to homes, that it just doesn't, people don't have the patience.
Right. And I think that people just don't know, which I'm kind of surprised at this point that people don't know. The amount of like, of people just not knowing, even having a clue of what it takes to raise and train a dog, really, is pretty crazy. And it's kind of unbelievable, I think, at this point. The other thing I was going to say is this, you know, there's so many videos out there. There are bazillion videos and podcasts like this that give you information. Like, people can get free information, tons of it. But I think in many like videos and stuff, trainers make it look super easy and short, like it doesn't take a whole lot of time. And I think that really does a disservice, or they don't talk about the fact that it does take time. I know just in my own experience, you know, clients want to rush things along. And it's like, there's a lot of nuances to training a dog. Not that someone can't do it without a trainer. They absolutely can. Absolutely can. There's enough information out there that they can. But to your point, you know, people give up too soon. They get frustrated. They're tired. You know, they've worked, whatever. And then they either put up with bad behaviors or they rehome the dog, which is a shame.
Yeah, again, so, just like human children, you have to be consistent
throughout
their whole lives until they move out of the house.
Thank goodness you can't just give up or rehome a kid super easy.
I'm sure my parents would have tried really, really hard to push me right on out that door.
It takes less years to train a dog than it does to train a child.
That's true.
Well, Kathy, what's your saying that you always say? That is so true. The two-legged humans move out, the four-legged ones don't.
One major difference between a two-legged and a four-legged child. One is we expect the two-leggeds to grow up and move out. Otherwise, they're just exactly the same.
Kids or dogs are like perpetual children. You have to stay on them. And, you know, they're happy with that, knowing what the boundaries are and, you know, that they're consistent. They have to be consistent, but overall.
Oh, children too. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Who would have thought?
So the difference between dogs and kids, though, is you can't reason with a dog. It's a much simpler form of communication. You know,
well, you know what? My mother always told me, because I said so is good enough. So
amen.
Yeah. My bulldog says I'll do anything as long as you give me a treat.
Right.
I think I saw her on your stairs back there.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you did. She hangs out. They're sitting behind me. It's about to rain, so Luke's all panicky over here in the corner.
How many do you have, Julia?
I have three.
Oh, God bless you.
I have a bulldog and a Boston Terrier and a German Shepherd. Yeah, all different personalities too. Oh, all God. Different, but they're great. I blame my addiction for dogs on Kathy. Technically, I had one when I met Kathy. Just one.
Kathy, how many okay. do you
I have no dogs.
She's probably the smartest of all of us.
Kathy's got hundreds of grand dogs at camp. That's what
we're right. saying. I have three real grand dogs, a grand cat, and a camp full of grand dogs.
I caved.
Yes.
So Terry, my next question for you. So you mentioned the amount of time that it takes to train a dog is different with every single dog, depending on breed, age, energy levels. Is there a real age that you should look to train a dog, whether that's you get it from a puppy or you get it from a shelter where they're maybe 6 or 7 years old? What do you look at in those types of scenario when it comes to age and training?
Personally, I think you can teach an old dog new tricks, you know, any age, but if what's my choice would be to start, first of all, if you got a puppy, you can start as early as 8 weeks. It is amazing how those little buggers absorb information. Obviously, as with any dog, there's lots of repetition involved, but you're starting in my mind with a blank slate, and you can prevent a lot of negative behaviors from happening, and you can nip some of the typical kind of puppy stuff, kind of nip it in the bud as it's coming out, you know, different behaviors like mouthing and some jumping, that kind of stuff. But you, as I always tell folks, whether you adopt a puppy or an adult dog, you are training the moment you start interacting with that dog, meaning you might not think you are, but you are. That dog is learning about you and what's allowed and what's not allowed immediately from you. So you should be formally training, and whether that's, you know, you doing your own thing or you're hiring someone, the moment you bring that dog home. What a lot of people do is they're like, oh, you know, especially if it's an adult dog and they got it from a shelter and there's a whole, you know, how do I say this? Sometimes there is, but oftentimes there's imagined harm in terms of, you know, that dog and it was at a shelter, and that's a whole nother. So they feel bad for it. So they bring it home and they're just loving it. They're giving it all this freedom and no boundaries, and let's give it some days or a week or two to settle in. And by that point, the dog's learning, I'm king of the castle. I get to do whatever I want, right? Mm-hmm. When really, truly, in all fairness to the dog, you should start immediately setting the boundaries. Somebody told me this once and I was like, this is an absolute perfect example. You know, if you have cats and you bring home a new dog or puppy or whatever, those cats are not saying, let's give them a few days to settle in. No, they set the boundaries right away and let them know, hey, don't get too close to me, right? Cats don't care, right? And the dog learns. Oh, shocking, right? The dog goes, okay, I respect that. Cats can't be smarter than us. Let's just do the same thing. Set the boundaries. Maybe smarter than some people, but but think about it, because what happens is I'm sure many other trainers get the call of, oh, we've had this dog for 2 months and it was great at first. That was the honeymoon period when you were letting it do whatever it wanted. And now it's doing A, B, C, D, E, yada, yada, yada. You know, maybe even as much as, you know, being aggressive or acting out, or I went to move it off the sofa and it bit me. So training should start right away as soon as you get that dog. And, you know, again, whether formal with a trainer or you just start setting some boundaries, don't give it everything the light touches is mine. No, restrict freedom. There's things that should be earned. Freedom should be earned. Privileges should be earned. I'm okay with dogs up on my furniture, my dog. However, the difference is when I invite her, she's not allowed to just jump up there on her own. It's mine. I don't want her to think it is hers. It's by invitation only. And I don't invite her every time I'm on the sofa, because then that sets a pattern of when I'm on it, you got to be on it. You know, just set some boundaries, some ground rules, the 90-pound Rottweiler rule. If that was a 90-pound Rottweiler doing that thing, would you allow it? And most people would say, to whatever the dog's doing, no.
Yeah.
You know, then don't allow it and make your dog earn things.
Yeah, so. My bulldog and my German Shepherd have gotten that no couch rule down pretty quickly. But my prima donna Boston Terrier, who I let get away with murder for the first.
Because she's smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's, I call her my firstborn. So she was spoiled at first. So yeah, I definitely understand that for sure. That's been a hard battle for us in this house.
Well, today's a new day.
Yeah. I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. And back to the point of my very first question, it's more me than it is her, because now I'm like, get off the couch. And she's like, okay, fine. But in the beginning she was like, I'm like, no, get off the couch. You're not going to give me that face. Definitely. I agree. I think
about other family members, if Julia's consistent about it and her husband isn't.
That's tough. I will say this, in my house, my husband is the softy, but you
know, I understand that.
And there are just certain things, like, I don't like begging. I don't feed the dog if I'm sitting there eating, there's no begging. There's no me giving you food, none of that. But my husband does. There's just some things you have to let go in life in general, right? Like, no matter how many times I say, don't do that, you know, he's going to do it in my house anyway, you know, because I can use the, hey, listen, we can't have that dog jumping on people or doing certain things because I have people coming in the house. I'm taking her to other people's houses. She's my training dog. You know, I want her raised because it is a unique situation, but that is tough because I think to a certain degree, the dog can learn. I can be certain ways with you, or I can get away with certain things with you, but with you, I can't. But in the end, that's a mixed message to the dog. And I feel like that's unfair. One person's allowing that dog to just jump all over them and they're petting him or whatever. And the other person's trying to, you know, no jumping whatsoever, that kind of thing. That's tough. That's tough. It'd be tough on kids too.
Yeah, that's the big, big battle that I find when I was trying to work on the no jumping phase. Mm-hmm. You know, they get excited and, you know, my mom or my husband's mom come in and, hey, get them all. I'm like, please just don't talk. Don't even look at them.
Yeah.
Until they learn to calm down. Because if you're telling them it's okay, it's not okay. That's the other thing that you've got to train the people, even your guests. Don't look at my dog when they come in. Just don't acknowledge them. Just get them off of you and move. I don't care if you think it's okay, because it's a bad habit that we've got to stop.
It's not okay for you, for me, right? I don't want my dog jumping on people or any of that kind of stuff. But I will say this too, Julia, have you taught your dogs like a down command or a place command?
Not a place command, a down command. Yes. And it worked really well when I didn't have my bulldog. That's when stuff started to get tricky for me, because she's a door rusher. My other two dogs were not until she became a door rusher. So now my sit and stay type of thing, I can't get them, all three of them, to stay at the same time.
So here's a little tip for you. In the beginning stages, as you're teaching the commands like down or place, you know, mm-hmm. or even sit, but it come like coming through the somebody coming through your door, I'd put them in a down. But have your you could have them all or just that one on a tie back, which just means you have a leash on them and it's mm-hmm. tied back to something. Oh. So even if or when they break command, they can't get very far. That's also we do that just in teaching them duration commands like down and place. Is in the beginning, we have them tied back to something. It doesn't keep them from breaking command. They can still break command, but they just can't get very far. And so it's kind of a mental thing where it's like, you know, this command just doesn't mean to do that. It means do that and stay in this spot.
Mm-hmm. Very good idea.
That might
very
help.
Very good idea. I swear, I laugh all the time. Somebody could literally knock on the door. Nope, don't care. But she wakes from her sleep and she's like, what was that? And then just immediately bum rushes the door. Now, if it's a stranger at the door, she's like, no. I don't know who you are. And that's when she rushes the door. But my other two could not care any less if there's somebody at the door until she cares. And then the second one of them cares, then all three of them care.
Well, then that's the one you want to have to go after first, because that's the one that's the issue.
Yeah. She's got the bulldog stubborn personality to match her breed. That's for sure.
Well, try it. It works.
Yeah. Kathy, I know I've asked 100 questions. I'll again, not asking for a friend, obviously not for me, guys.
Absolutely.
One of the things I've seen on your website and Facebook is like a boot camp where you have dogs come stay with you. Do you find that something you need to do for particular behaviors, or is it the parents yet again?
Do boot camp or not do boot camp?
That's right.
The question. well, you know what? The more I board and train, that's what it's called. The more I board and train, the more I believe overall it is the best thing. The reason is there's many reasons, but for the dog, For the dog, they're coming here. It's a very consistent environment. I won't say easy for them to learn, but easier for them to learn. It's not what a lot of people think. Like when you think boot camp, you think like people yelling at you and being mean or like, you know, just forcing you into things. It's not like that. It's just very highly structured and very consistent, which is very fair and makes it easier for the dog to move more quickly through the process. That being said, we still have to teach the owners because, again, we can train a dog, but we don't live with that dog. Part of my job also is choosing the right owners because mm-hmm. there are people that think they can just drop their dog off and come back and here's their trained dog and they don't have to do anything. Totally not the truth. You know, I work real hard to make it real clear that you still have work to do. And by the way, when your dog is here, we're going to be sending you homework to be working on while your dog is here, preparing you mentally for your dog's arrival at, you know, when they come back. And we also do 6 hours of one-on-one training with the owners because it is so important that they know what to do and that their dog knows that they know what to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not 6 hours all at once. We do it in 3 sessions. We do a pre-go home, which is a couple hours training a few days before they go home. And the reason why we do it here is because their dog, this is the environment the dog has been learning in. The owners come in. The owners are a huge distraction for that dog, obviously. So we're trying to make it easier by having it here for the dog. Then a few days later, we actually deliver the dog home to them. We don't have them come pick it up and then go home and they're home alone with their dog because the dog's going back going, hey, yeah, great. I remember what we used to do here. You know, I was king of the roost here. So we're there to help the dog learn, oh no, the rules are the same here as they were where I just came from. And again, working with the owners. And then a few weeks or a month later, we come back again for reinforcement and helping mostly the owner. So by the way, we also do remote collar training with the board and train, which is so amazing. It's not what people think. I was just telling somebody, you know, client about it. She asked me about it and she's like, oh my God, that is not at all what I thought it was. It's really amazing. It's really cool, but very involved and should be left to the professionals. But like, you know, a lot of people think they're just going to go out and get some kind of cheap e-collar or something and put it on their dog and correct the dog when it doesn't do what they want. That's totally incorrect. And that's what I'm going to say is totally wrong. You know, it is such a nice way to teach the dog a way to communicate and also have a higher level of reliability in terms of your dog following commands, really listening to you. I think it's amazing. not every owner is cut out for board and train. You know, there's still work to do. They come home and they it's not here's your dog and you're done. Go say sit to your dog. They have to work with their dog every day because their dog doesn't yet believe that the human has changed. A lot of the reasons why dogs are not doing what they're supposed to do is because they don't take their owners seriously. And it's because owners have been inconsistent. On the owner's part, it's just lack of knowledge most of the time. That's all it is, you know. You know, in-home training is great too. It's just that there's a lot of differences, obviously, between in-home and board and train. But, the more I work with dogs through board and train, the more I think it's the best way to go. Again, depending on the owner. You know, you can really move the dog quicker through the process and have a much higher level of reliability and more freedom. Again, more freedom for your dog. And not all dogs get to the same point in the time that they're here because, hello, you know, just like humans, different levels of whatever, intelligence and whatever, but we get them as far as we can. But a lot of them, you know, are off leash. You know, we're walking them around without a leash and they're doing great. We take them all kinds of places and work with them in like Home Depot and Lowe's and the park and PetSmart and, you know, out in public and reinforce those behaviors and commands out in public. And it's just so awesome to see that transformation in them and how joyful they are when they're just like, woo, you know, I can have fun. I can listen to you. They really, truly love doing the work, you know, and being engaged with someone and getting rewarded and, you know, no stress. What else do you want to know?
I actually have a few questions.
So Julia, I don't know about you, but all of this stuff is really, really fascinating. And I think we've got enough information here with Terry that we probably need to make this into a second segment podcast. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. There's so much good information here. Enough for, I think, two podcasts as well. I think it would probably be beneficial to have two podcasts. That way everybody, if they're like me, can take first half of the knowledge and let that download before they hear the second.
There you go. And we haven't even gotten to the separation anxiety issue that mm-hmm. is really a major issue for many parents now since right. COVID. So cool. I can't wait to get that one. What do you think, Julia? Are you ready?
I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited to get that one underway. I think it's going to be a good one. And like you said, COVID has changed everything.
Cool. Yes. And so I'm Kathy Stone.
And I'm Julia Elliott.
And this is All About Dog.